WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. That's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us. Sir, how are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Get it back, like, 10 years ago when...
kicking it.
Joe was in here and you'd have me in. It's nice. Always great to be back on Monday Night Talk.
So he is a county commissioner. He is the host of the JV team every Wednesday night from 6:15 until 7 o'clock. And he's joining me. Of course, first segment will be his. So we have an opportunity. It's the county updates.
Yes.
We try to have like a little rotation going with, like we do with the state delegation here on the South Shore and beyond. We do the same thing with the county folks, because yous two are also government.
We are, and we certainly are grateful. I know my colleagues, Commissioner Hanley and Chairman Wright, always enjoy being able to come on here and share, as well as I do, the stuff we're doing at county government. Sometimes it doesn't get the attention that other positions in the state get, but Plymouth County in particular is very proud of the work we've been able to do, and always grateful to you, Kevin, for giving us the opportunity to talk about it.
You almost sounded like your predecessor for half a second.
I think I'm a little, as I always say, I am the calmer, the nicer, kinder, gentler Dan Pallotta.
Same last vowel, yep. Just a bit kinder.
And, you know, if Christine James has me on, film, you know, replacing him on election night coverage, I'll try and be a little more boisterous, but... no, we certainly appreciate all the work.
Well, I think she likes the friendly jousting those two have.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
A lot of good back and forth banter.
I have no problem doing that. I'm pretty good at that, I think. I hope.
So the idea of having Jared on is to chat a little bit about what's going on, latest news with the county, maybe a little bit of an ARPA update, seeing that you are kind of the assigned steward.
The quarterback.
The quarterback.
To foreshadow your later into the program.
The head liaison. Stuff like that. And also, there's a little bit of a collection going on, and I believe will it all culminate tomorrow with the aid for Ukraine?
It'll kick off tomorrow. It'll culminate on Friday, yes. Okay. So we'll be kicking off tomorrow a collection for Ukraine, and that'll be culminating Friday. For folks who might bring in stuff or stuff that might come in after, we'll still take it. We'll get it to where it needs to be.
So Jared's going to give us kind of a long-form discussion about that and all the details. And if you want to kind of throw any, you know, spitballs at Putin or whatever, feel free. That's the
always a pleasure.
So,
yes, always absolutely. Happy to hit Mr. Putin. I'm sure he's listening.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, he's banned Facebook and Instagram in Russia, so
has he
can't
now?
Stream there. So,
following that, another part of the discussion you're looking forward to is a lieutenant governor candidate, lieutenant gubernatorial candidate. That doesn't sound right, but okay, I tried it on for science.
Lieutenant Governor. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, she's a Lieutenant Governor candidate. And she has been, I guess, there's a supposedly a ticket. We had Chris Doty on a week or two ago, and he's like, oh, yeah, we formed a ticket. But yeah. As our back and forth prior to the theme song rolling us in here, that might not necessarily be the case, depending on who ends up being the ends up being the one who takes the nomination.
Yeah.
For the GOP, it could be different, right?
It could be. So, a lot of times, and this has been a structural advantage Republican candidates for governor, lieutenant governor have had, particularly Baker and Polito. Baker to say, and you can go all the way back, is the Republican Party has been able to form unofficial tickets early because we still vote for these candidates, right. Governor and lieutenant governor, separately. In the September primary, of course, there is a contested governor's primary and a contested lieutenant governor's primary now. I did not do my homework on my way in to see the last time that happened. 1990, it absolutely did in the Republican Party. The only other time I think it possibly could have would be 1998, but this is the first time in my personal recent memory that there will be a primary for both with both teams ticketed up a little bit.
Very interesting. Well, we have Kate Campanelli. Hopefully we're saying her name right. We did do a little bit of a...
We're just a couple of Italians not being able to pronounce a fellow Paisan's
name. Well, if we went by the pronouncement...
Campanelli.
So
that might be obnoxious.
That might not be. So that's our number one. Our number two, a little bit of a sports round table, as we are going to speak with... Well, Jared's going to stay on that because... Anytime we talk Tom Brady, we have to have the apologist or at least have the super cheerleader for Tom Brady on board. So we're going to chat about that. We
always love talking Tom Brady.
We're also going to talk state championship hockey.
Yeah.
And Brendan Connolly is going to be here as he and Quinn have the call of the Hanover Marlboro game.
That's awesome. So this really is like the super WATD crossover show tonight. I love it.
Oh, my God. Like none other. Yeah. Also joining in on that conversation will be Matt Mad Dog Nelson, a local sportscaster, actually a broadcaster in the area, calls a lot of sporting events for high school and college sports. He'll join us, as well as Newbie Rateau. And we'll talk not only Tom Brady, not only the hockey game, but we'll talk the NFL, the trades, the signings, and the New England Patriots. Womp, womp. Where do they stand? Are you nervous? We'll find out. So we're going to do that, all that, in just a couple of moments.
Hey, it's Geoff. That's what my friends call me, Geoff. 6'190". I grew up on the South Shore, and now I live on the South Coast. Trust me, I'm not the person you think I am. I'm just like you. I have two little girls that are the same as yours. My wife and I go to work while they go to school. Just like you. We watch reality TV and participate in social media, just like you. Mal keeps the books while I move things, pick things up, and put things down. Our friends are just like us. We all just want to live, work, and play freely. Thank you to the brave men and women who gave their lives. Thank you to the brave men and women who are currently giving their lives. Thank you to the brave civil servants that are serving our country every day. Thank you to the truck drivers and all of the workers that keep this country going. You are my heroes. You are amazing. You keep doing what you're doing, and we'll keep doing what we're doing, as long as we can, forever and ever, until death do us part. Like you, we stand with Ukraine. Like you, we stand for freedom. Our hearts and our prayers go out to all the people around the Ukraine. Godspeed. This message was brought to you by Brennan Smoke Shop.
Be a part of the show. Call and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk.
It's worth noting, as I kind of used the analogy of an airline here, where George will be coming down your aisle anytime now, serving you your precious drinks and snacks until we land. But it's time for us to jump right into the county update with Mr. Valenzuela.
Thank you, Kevin. Always a pleasure to be here.
So, yeah, there was a time and a day when everything the county did, the county commissioners did, made news. More quiet times.
Right.
What are some of the things that have been transpiring at some of your meetings?
So we have, as you may know, finished up the CARES Act. We are still working on getting some checks out. Of course, that program sunsetted December 31st. Right. And just to remind your listeners, Plymouth County just recently received national commendation from Representative Stephen Lynch, Congressman Lynch. We are grateful that the United States Congress has recognized our performance with the Plymouth County CARES Act. For those who may recall, we were awarded $90 million in funds through the federal CARES Act program. State wasn't necessarily too keen on us doing it. A lot of folks didn't think Plymouth County could do it. And again, I have to give the credit to my predecessor, Dan Pallotta, my colleagues, Commissioner Wright, Commissioner Hanley, Treasurer Tom O'Brien. They stood tall, they stood firm. And the end result of that program were twice as much money being delivered to Plymouth County than like-sized communities outside of Plymouth County. They got about $45 million. Every community in Plymouth County got about $90 million. As folks may recall, towards the end of January, there was a massive countywide distribution of COVID tests that was purchased with some remaining CARES Act funds. So when the state arbitrarily distributed tests to cities like Brockton but not Plymouth, Rockland but not Bridgewater, Plymouth County has always did an equitable distribution. We did this all with less than 1% administrative cost, which meant more money to our communities, and we did it faster than the state. And the last thing on the CARES Act that I just always like to highlight, because I think it really tells the best story of the whole thing, $19 million went to the city of Brockton, which was one of the hardest hit communities in the whole state with COVID. But for relative comparison purposes, the only town or city in the state that got more money than Brockton was Boston, and they got a direct apportionment from the federal government. Brockton got more money than Worcester, Springfield, Lowell, Lawrence, New Bedford, Fall River. They got it faster, and we're extremely proud of that program and the partnership we had with Mayor Sullivan and the entire leadership in all 27 communities in Plymouth County.
I think what's also the story that's not told was that there were, initially, when it was heard that the county was going to be doing the distribution of the funds, that there were a handful of communities. They're like, nope. But, you know, slowly they went from nope, to where, you know, they might have been noping on one direction, but the hand was coming out in the other saying, maybe we could use that money.
Yeah. No, look, they, to that end.
Not naming any names.
Yeah, no, of course. And I think, you know, if I'm a community leader and I'm watching Mass Municipal Association, Administration and Finance, the governor, the Boston Globe, most media outlets coming down hard on Plymouth County doing that program, I would be a little shaky as well. And to your point, Kevin, past performances of certain prior, well before even the current team that's in place, certainly did not lend a lot of confidence. But I know, again, speaking for my predecessor, Dan Pallotta, but myself as well as my colleagues, both on the county commissioner level and Treasurer O'Brien, we're confident in our capability and capacity to be able to take this program on. And we're extremely proud of it. And there's nothing that is a greater compliment to us than how well we did with it than when you consider the American Rescue Plan Act, when that was passed, every eligible county took their funds as well. So we've partnered up with them. And when you consider the performance of the state, the legislature ended up taking away the administration of the ARPA funds from the executive branch, and they're administering it themselves in the legislative branch. So we're extremely proud of what that program was. And I personally am kind of sad to see it go. It was always nice to be able to get out in our communities and chat with our community leaders. I know you filmed a few in Abington for us. And, you know, it was for us an opportunity in what was a barrage for 2 years of just constant bad news to offer a little glimmer of hope and optimism in what was a pretty unfortunate chapter in our history.
But is COVID actually in the rearview mirror?
Well, you know, I'm not a public health expert. I think if you look at what a lot of folks who are would say, it's going from pandemic to endemic. It's something that is out there that we are going to have to live with as a society. And I think that's finding ways, whether it be through vaccination, therapeutics. One of the things that is great about the United States is our ingenuity and the amount of, again, therapeutics and vaccinations that have been founded in a very short period of time for folks who are comfortable doing them. I think as we shift from pandemic to endemic, it's one of those things that unfortunately we're going to have to live with. Thankfully, it seems like some of the variants, and like most viruses, as they mutate, they become less deadly. Mercifully, it seemed like Omicron was, according to the data. So thankfully, I think we are in the rearview mirror of that, hopefully, and we can begin the American Rescue Plan Act and tackling some of the issues that are left over from COVID as well as looking forward.
Hence ARPA, that's the acronym. ARPA. But this is the distribution of this and the longevity of this is dramatically different. What's the role of the county regarding this? I know that there are communities that are going to get directly infused with monies, but yet there's still a role that's being played by the county.
Yeah, so the way the American Rescue Plan Act was constructed, where there were four general tranches, whether it be hazard duty pay, broadband upgrades, water and sewer, and revenue replacement. So Plymouth County, every eligible county in Massachusetts was given a certain apportionment. Plymouth County, we honestly listened to the feedback of our communities. You know, we went back and forth because we always try to make what we believe to be the best decision for our member communities and our constituents. And to a T, almost every single community in the county vociferously and very loudly asked us to do the American Rescue Plan Act. So to your point, it's a lot longer of a program. We're very grateful. We've only had, I think we have 5 active applications right now. We've only received half of the money so far, so we've released that funding to our communities. But a lot of towns are really taking their time with it. As you just said at the top, every community in Massachusetts, Plymouth County included, got a direct apportionment from the federal government, whether it be in Plymouth County's case, Brockton and Plymouth getting Gateway Communities money because their population's over 50,000, or the other 25 communities getting non-entitlement unit monies. Every community has a solid influx of funds, and a lot of them are really taking the time to think long and hard about it. It's a 3-year program. They have till December 31st, 2024 to get a project in, and then they have until 2026 to even have the money formally spent. So it is a very long and comprehensive program. We are very proud of the work that the Treasurer's Office has done in conjunction with the Commissioner's Office to build a portal online for communities to access it. It's a model that has been replicated in Norfolk, Bristol, and Barnstable counties. Dukes County, which is Martha's Vineyard, has asked to also sort of let us consult them a little bit, give them a hand with their apportionment. But we've fielded calls from counties in Oregon, counties in Illinois that have been very impressed by our website, our portal, and for the folks who want to visit it, www.plymouthcountyarpa.com, and you can check out all of the eligible uses of ARPA monies, and that goes for what the county distributes as well as local level.
How does it feel to know that the county is seen as an asset where at one time it was seen as a liability and something that was kind of outdated?
I tell you, it's great. It's a great feeling to, and again, a lot of that work goes to my predecessor, but I'm proud of the fact that we've been able
still carrying the ball, though. You get the rock, you're running with it.
Yeah, exactly. I appreciate that, Kevin. So we're extremely proud of it. You know, Plymouth County has always provided so many resources for our communities that are just not the flashy things. We have the Plymouth County OPEB Trust Fund, which for folks who don't know what OPEB is, other post-employment benefits. So we have a scenario in our communities where folks have been hired, they're promised benefits. When they retire, they deserve them, of course. That was the condition they were hired under. But it's been underfunded for many years. We've been able to bring together a collection of communities that have been able to invest into a trust fund that has had far greater measurable returns than most any other post-employment benefit trust fund has had in the state and even nationwide. Mayflower Municipal Health Group, they've been able to maintain and keep rates low for participating member units, which includes not only communities in Plymouth County, but even government units outside of Plymouth County. Of course, we have the Plymouth County Retirement Board. We have the Burn Vehicle Grant, which has provided many opportunities for cities. Brockton, I believe, was in receiving a check recently, aiding in purchasing equipment for the police department and the vehicle purchasing bid. So communities that need to buy a police car or a fire truck have always been able to do that with us. They still can. We've recently also onboarded and served as a regional outlet for communities as it relates to parking tickets. So if you're a town that writes a parking ticket, instead of handling it in-house, which can become costly and cumbersome because, again, 27 parking offices would be a little onerous, right? It would be very repetitive.
Right.
We have the Plymouth County Parking Office. We've been out in a lot of communities have been utilizing that service as well. Bridgewater, I think, being one of them, Bridgewater State, and a handful of others. So Plymouth County has always provided a lot of great resources, but in that sense, to be able to have been, to as you said, you know, once seen as a detraction on the discourse, to now being a professional organization that has already been providing great services, but now folks are realizing just the value add that county government is able to do has been great. The last thing I'll add on that, our budget, Kevin, has been roughly $10 million per year since 2010. So we can't tax, we can't bond, so we're really limited, and we live within our means extremely well. Our team, Frank Basler in the commissioner's office, as well as his staff, Nancy and Tammy, Treasurer O'Brien, Jeff, Matt, everybody at 44 Obrey Street works extremely hard within very limited means to provide a lot of fantastic services. And, of course, the last thing I'll add is we have our 4-H extension program, which has really been taking off as well. So it's been a great turnaround for the county.
Let's talk about the county doing good.
Yeah.
As you had mentioned, starting tomorrow is collections to aid the folks in Ukraine.
Yeah.
How did this come about? And what exactly is being sought?
Yeah, so like everybody, I think we've all been very horrified, for lack of a better word, by the war in Ukraine. When you consider how, first of all, who would have ever thought such a war could exist in Europe in 2022? But when you consider the barbaric way Vladimir Putin is waging war on Ukraine, you think about the theater, I think it was in Mariupol, that a bunch of kids were sheltering at, and they wrote in Russian, "Kids are sheltering here," and that unfortunately seemed to be an invitation to bomb it. When you consider maternity hospitals are being bombed, and in so many, just the barbaric way the war is being raged, I know myself watching it was very difficult. And as a Knight of Columbus, as a devout Catholic, and as someone who likes to just try and find a way to help, I was very optimistic to be able to partner with the Christ the King Ukrainian Catholic Church in Jamaica Plain. I have to give a hat tip to the town of Braintree. They did this a couple of weeks ago. So we wanted to be able to step up and utilize our county office. So, you know, we have a nice big hearing room for folks to bring stuff into, because I think there are a lot of people out there who feel the same way I did. They want to do something. They want to be able to participate. They want to be able to help and show their support. And I felt this was the best way to do it. So we partnered. I contacted the pastor at Christ the King Ukrainian Catholic Church, Father Yaroslav, and he sent me back a list of items, which I'll tell you, you know, it's an Amazon it's an Amazon wish list. You know, we've all made wish lists on Amazon, mm-hmm. and you put, you know, maybe golf balls or a fishing rod.
Yes.
You go on there, and some of the things they have on there, two-way radios, tourniquets, traumatic wound first aid packets, emergency bandage packs, quick clot advanced clotting gauze, up to and including military tactical vests, night vision goggles, drones, things also as simple as AA and AAA batteries. And I want to thank some friends, my grandmother, also sending items over the weekend, but socks and, you know, feminine care products. It's just, these are things that we have every day in our lives that are not going to be readily available to these folks. And when you consider the refugee crisis that is really taking hold, especially in Poland, where it seems most of them are fleeing to be able to assist the Ukrainian Christ the King Ukrainian Catholic Church in collecting these items, they will send them to New Jersey, who will then fly them to Poland. And from Poland, like I said, they will be brought into Ukraine if they're military type equipment. If it's stuff for refugees, you know, it'll be kept in Poland and taken care of, or distributed to those who are in need as refugees.
And so is there a window of time that folks can be able to stop by the commissioner's hearing room?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're kicking off tomorrow. Again, we had some folks, due to their schedules, they collected it this weekend. I will note, let me say this. Tomorrow, starting at 10 a.m., 10 to 4, you can stop by 44 Obrey Street. There are signs posted. You'll see the big box sitting in front of the commissioner's table. Feel free to walk in, leave your items there. We will then gather everything up on Friday afternoon, so that'll be the last day. Excuse me, and we will bring everything into the church in Jamaica Plain. My Nana had a brilliant idea, and I encourage a lot of folks to do this. If you go on to the Amazon website, feel free to just ship it directly to our offices at Obrey Street. Just put Ukrainian aid as the attention, so that way our folks know where to bring those items. Although I would imagine if a military tactical vest showed up, Tom O'Brien won't be using that, nor will I. So we'll know where to put that. But you can ship things directly there. They're also taking monetary donations.
I was
going to
ask about that.
Yeah, so one of the things the pastor did note is as they're collecting more and more of these items, basic fuel costs are going up, but as it becomes more and more logistically difficult to get things to Poland or to any surrounding nation of Ukraine, and to get things then into Ukraine, it's becoming more costly. So you can make a check out to Christ the King Ukrainian Catholic Church, put in the memo, aid to Ukraine. If you do bring that to our county office, they'll know that that's the destination they wanted to go. Last thing I do want to plug as well, Venus Cafe in Whitman generously donated a $50 gift certificate. So we are doing a silent auction as well. So for folks who stop by 44 Obrey Street and leave items, if you can, please make a bid on that silent auction item. They have agreed to match, they will match the donation. So whatever we can get that up to, they will match the donation as well as giving us the gift certificate.
You know, you can give only so much information during a small window of time, especially on the radio. As you know,
of course,
limited time on radio shows here. But if somebody is tuned into this segment, they hear this segment, and want more information,
of course,
is there a way to reach out to the great Jared Valenzuela?
Thank you. Yeah, you can email me at my commissioner email address. So it's jvalenzola, mouthful, V-A-L-A-N-Z-O-L-A, at PlymouthCountyMA.gov. And there are folks at our office, 44 Obrey Street. We're right next to the Registry of Deeds. We're right next to the driveway going to Beth Israel. Feel free to stop in. Our offices are always staffed, and the folks there are extremely friendly, and they're very much involved in helping us make sure we can get as much collected for Ukraine and get that stuff sent over there.
Anything that I've overlooked asking you in regards to the aid, but we want to make sure we at least put that information out as well.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think we covered all of it. Like I said, nothing seems too big or too small for them. It's whatever anybody can do, whether that be, again, monetary donations or, again, stuff as simple as single A and, double A and triple A batteries. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it was very sobering. It really put in, for me, it put into perspective just what this war is about. When you look at that list, I don't want to call it a wish list, because certainly these are the last
they
things
don't wish these
Ukrainians
things,
yeah, ever were wishing for, but the list of items that they need, again, industrial dispensing needles, pocket trauma kits, it's a sobering thing. And again, Plymouth County, my fellow commissioners, and I just wanted to find a way to try and assist those who are in most need right now.
Well, thank you for sharing this information.
Thank
this
you.
Program, you're going to stay right there.
You bet.
We are going to step aside just for a couple of moments, and when we come back, we're going to speak with Kate Campanelli about her campaign for Lieutenant Governor. Stay tuned. You're tuned in to Monday Night Talk.
Each year, about 1 out of 2 men and 1 out of 3 women will develop cancer. But there's good news. Today's cancer survival odds are much better than 2 or even 3 years ago. Things move that fast. So if you're diagnosed, be sure to have someone in your corner who is on top of all the latest cancer treatments and techniques, the latest research, the newest equipment, all the newest medicines available through clinical trials. And speaking of corners, here's more good news. Advanced cancer care is now just around the corner. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare treats patients locally, with all oncology services and specialties conveniently housed under one roof. The center is affiliated with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, so you'll be seen by Harvard medical faculty physicians and oncologists. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare, in affiliation with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. Cancer has just met its match. Find out why at mysignaturecare.org/cancercare.
It's like a throwback to the Hedlund days.
It kind of is. he'd be more like a UFO or...
Sure.
Who else would he listen to?
Highly underrated UFO, Kevin.
Oh, my God. He had such eclectic rock and roll taste, and was kind of the guy who... I think he's either got an identity. You would know better because you...
Oh, yeah. Well, him. You know what's funny is he has bumped... So my dad calls into my show often enough, but his...
Lou from Rockland.
Yes, his character nickname is Lou in Rockland. But he bumps into Mayor Hedlund at Al Stewart shows.
No.
Who would have ever thunk Mayor Hedlund... I'm giving away secrets. If he's listening, he might call in and yell at me.
No, I think Bob likes music in general.
Oh, he does. He does.
He does. And if he gets a free pair of tickets, I mean, didn't he, like, go with you to McCartney?
He did. He did. Well, that was an opportunity for him to meet Paul McCartney, which he did not believe was happening when it was unfolding. And, but that was great. That was always, that was a great time for me. It was, when people ask me, whenever I go on job interviews and they ask me to talk about a professional accomplishment, of course, I always talk about the time I was able to meet Paul McCartney.
Sir
Paul McCartney. Well, as I quipped after I read the citation, and I'll give Bob credit, he did me a great honor by having me present the citation. So when I got to present it, when I got to the end, I quipped with Paul McCartney. I know this isn't being knighted by the Queen of England or anything, but it's the best we can do.
Listen, I'm waiting for my day to it's part of my bucket list. Dave Grohl.
Oh, there you go.
All about Dave Grohl. This is a guy.
The guy who's managed to have two wildly successful bands,
and I think he's been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for both groups.
Oh, he has to have been. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, of course, a quick trivia question while we wait for our guest. The only band where all five members are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but the band isn't.
Well, you obviously know this.
I do.
Please share, because you have me stumped.
The Traveling Wilburys.
No!
Yes, George Harrison, Bob Dylan, Jeff Lynne, Tom Petty, and Roy Orbison are all individually in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but the Traveling Wilburys as a band is not.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I think our guest has called in. Are you there, Kate? No, I think he's chatting with her right now. George, right now in the middle. He's in the middle of the aisle right now.
Small
serving
talk, that's okay.
Serving beverages and
right.
Handing
he's
out
taking the order.
So I believe that we have joining us right now former state representative, I think for the 17th Worcester District, and now candidate for lieutenant governor, GOP style, Kate Campanelli. Kate, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Kate,
thank you for having me.
So two Italians are sitting here trying to figure out if I, because we were debating how to say your last name. So for the folks who are out there listening, how do you say your last name correctly?
You got it spot on. It's Campanelli.
Excellent. I lost. Of course, you know how to pronounce my last name, Kate Valenzuela. Rolls right off the tongue.
Right.
So for folks who don't know who you are, or you know, and don't necessarily vote in the Worcester area, Central Mass, tell us just a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, again, thanks for having me on. Let's see. So just to give you, by way of background, I have spent the past 10 years in pretty much legislative government relations, working from a legislative office in D.C. on my way up to working as an aide in the State House. And then in 2014, at the age of 28, I decided to step up and run myself in my district of Worcester and Leicester and serve two terms in the legislature. After 2018, I left the legislature and began teaching in my now hometown of Spencer, East Brookfield. And happy to be back in the race.
Now, what made you decide that you wanted to throw your hat in the ring to run for lieutenant governor?
Yeah, to be perfectly honest, it was Chris Doughty. I sat down with him, and he is just a man of incredible character, intelligent, thoughtful, and just someone who can take a difference of opinion and come up with a solution. And I knew right off the bat we just had great compatibility, and he has all the qualities to make a great leader and governor for Massachusetts. So, Chris brought me back in.
So, Rep, it's good to hear from you again, Jared Valenzuela. I wanted to ask, of course, as you know, I'm very much in the weeds of the Republican politics and the occasional food fight. I was wondering if you wanted to address a little bit of what came across our wires today as it relates to your voter registration status.
Yes, this is, I'm a proud Republican. I always have been. From the day I could register to vote, I registered as a Republican. Recently, and this is actually a very common issue, when I was married in May and went to the registry in June to change my name. And what the registry did, even though there's a box there, I think most people will recognize the box, check if you want to register to vote. I checked that I did not want to register to vote, but due to automatic voter registration in the state, they duplicated a voting record for me under my new name. So I was actually in the voter rolls twice, once under my new name and once as Kate Campanelli, a Republican. Now, when automatic voter registration does not give you the option to pick a party either. Right. And little did I know, they were registering me to vote under a completely new name. So I think this shows a problem with the registry. It's been something that I've been talking about at caucuses and even before then. So it's something that is going to be a priority when Chris and I get elected.
Well, that's perfect, because you're right. That's a common issue. And you, like myself, have been a Republican since the moment we turned 18. So I think that might separate us from some other folks running. Thanks, Kevin.
Exactly. It brings up another issue, too. When you look a few weeks ago, when the House passed the illegal licenses for illegals, what happens with their automatic voter registration? So I think we really need to look at this and, you know, again, make this a priority. There's a lot of questions here that could turn into problems.
If you are elected as the lieutenant governor, what do you see your role as being in the administration?
Sure. You know, first, I'm running as lieutenant governor, and that is to support the governor, to support Chris. I believe we speak with a single voice when we want to make our local communities a priority. And you look at a local community, and it needs to be healthy. And if our cities and towns aren't healthy, and by healthy, I mean getting the local aid they need for the critical vital services, such as schools, such as police, fire protection, all of those, the local aid that they need, you know, that builds a strong, healthy community, and those relationships are definitely a priority.
So something I want to throw out, I mean, the current Lieutenant Governor, Karen Pulido, has worked extensively with municipalities around the Commonwealth, helping those towns and cities address certain needs, especially when it comes to, like, economic development. What do you see your role? Do you see your role being similar, or do you see it being somewhat different?
No, I see some similarities for sure. But I think with any administration, what our priorities will be organic. You know, we don't know what will happen when we take office. You know, we certainly didn't know that COVID-19 would take office, or when Charlie Baker first got elected and started his term in January of 2015, that he would be fighting a blizzard for, you know, a couple of months. So, yes, exactly. So some of these are organic, but our priorities, I think Chris and I complement each other very well. With him in his executive role and able to manage a business, able to create jobs and find solutions, and me on the legislative side, knowing how to navigate Beacon Hill, knowing how local governments work and to form those relationships, as well as my time in the classroom, education is going to be a big priority for us as well.
Absolutely. Well, Kate, I'm glad you mentioned being elected to the legislature, because you were the first Republican to represent a portion of the city of Worcester since, I'm forgetting the year.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a very long time.
It had been decades.
Right,
yes.
It had been decades. So what were some of your highlights that you were able to do? I know you discussed them when you announced with Mr. Doty your candidacy on his informal ticket. What were some of the highlights that you were able to advocate for as a state representative, as Kevin said, for the 17th Worcester District, Leicester and Worcester?
That's right. Yes. You know, there were so many projects that I was able to bring to the forefront, such as infrastructure projects. There was Stiles Dam in Leicester. There was also a Rawson Street Bridge in Leicester that had been waiting literally decades in bond bills to get out and get this much-needed projects done, and we were able to do that. And I was able to work with our Democratic colleagues, my Republican colleagues, and the administration to do this. Also, things such as where I made my announcement, Stern's Tavern, it was very significant to me because that shows what we want to duplicate around the state. And that's a partnership between government, between private businesses, and the community. And when I talk about strong communities before, that's what I mean. It's everybody coming together for the greater good of a project that supports the community. And the government is supposed to be here to help. You know, it's not here to put more regulations, more red tape on things that are beneficial. And that's what we want to do, reduce those burdens and be able to be productive to our cities and towns.
I've heard that this unofficial ticket has the slogan, Massachusetts first. What exactly, what does that entail?
You know, that's something that came up, you know, in conversation. You know, it's like, we're the Massachusetts first team. We want to put Massachusetts, the residents, first. There's so much noise in this election, and I think in most people's minds, of this national politics. There's so much noise that gets us confused with what we can actually do in this state. And that's what Chris and I are focused on. This state, the people, the residents of Massachusetts, and leave this outside national politics out of what we want to do in our agenda.
Yeah, I can second that. Representative, so I, as Kevin alluded to, you're a state rep in central Massachusetts, so I'm sure you probably haven't found your way to too many airwaves in this part of our great Commonwealth. But what is something maybe fun or interesting about Kate Campanile that folks might not know about you? Kate Campanile. That
don't forget the E.
That folks would be interested in.
Ooh, I have never been asked that question on the radio.
Like to ask
of course you have to stump me.
You know, could ask you what is your favorite Beatles song. That's standard on my radio show.
Oh, these are Beatles songs. Oh, even that's a tough one.
It is, isn't it?
Hard Day's Night.
Yeah. Oh, putting me on the spot here.
I know.
I love all Beatles. I actually have the Beatles station. It kind of... to answer your question on my Sirius, programmed on my Sirius radio.
So you just earned my vote. That's just, all you had to do. Hey, I had it before anyway. I'll spoil the surprise.
No, but a fun thing that the folks don't know about you.
Yeah, fun thing. You know, I guess I would say my hobby is, you know, being involved in politics. But above that, I would say that. I played tennis in high school and college. That might be something not many know.
Yeah, okay. My dad loves tennis, so
yeah,
that's a good
little
one.
Little hidden talent, I guess.
There you go. I like it. What would you
probably one of our final questions. We have
sure.
Just a few more minutes left here. What would you say are some of the key issues that are, you know, like the back of your hand, you know that you're ready to tackle, that mm-hmm. the campaign is looking forward to talking about with voters and during forums and debates?
You know, education is big for me. You know, I think we really need to look at what's being taught in our classrooms. I feel that our students have fallen behind, especially with the pandemic. You know, from development of the younger kids to the older kids and their self-esteem. And we're not producing students that are competitive in the national and global world. And I think our theme is getting back to the basics, reading, writing, arithmetic, getting those basics to make our kids successful, and getting some of this curriculum out that isn't going to compete with the children in China, per se. You know, being in the classroom, I've seen children struggle. Parents are very overwhelmed the past 2 years, and we just need to get back to the basics.
Absolutely. So, Kate, before we let you go, where can folks learn more about your campaign, your candidacy, Mr. Doty's as well?
Yes, you can find me at kate4lg.com, and that's spelled out F-O-R, kate4lg.com.
Awesome. Kate, we want to thank you so much for joining us for this segment. If there was one thing that you wished we asked you, what would that be? And give us an answer to it.
One thing.
Yeah, is there something that you were hoping you'd be asked for? Maybe there's something. Maybe there's an item that you want to make sure you mention to the voters while you're on air.
I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk about Chris and I, our compatibility, what we want to do with Massachusetts. Again, you can find out more at Kate for LG, and we're really just looking to get to work, get out there, and meet the voters.
Excellent. Well, good Kate, stuff. We want to thank you for joining us, and hopefully we'll hear more from you down the road.
Absolutely. I look forward to it. Thank you very much.
You got it. There she is, Kate Campanelli, our guest for Lieutenant Governor. Hopefully she'll be on your ballot come September.
She'll definitely be on mine.
Okay. We're going to step aside. That's it for hour number one. I'm sorry. It went by really fast. Hour number two coming up. Join us. We've got Newbie Rateau. Jared's going to stick around. And someone
you know how
called
much I
the
love
Mad
Tom
Dog.
Brady.
In just a few moments here on 95.9 WATD.
ATD FM Marshfield, WMEX Quincy, WBMS Brockton, and Translator W266DA Brockton. This is the South Shores Radio Station, 95.9 FM WATD. Streaming online at 95.9WATD.com. And with your smart speaker, just by saying play WATD.
Hi, I'm Dr. Andy Wehmeyer, owner of Contemporary Prosthodontics in Duxbury. Maybe you've had a lot of dental work over your lifetime, a true veteran of dental care. If you've experienced failing crowns, bridges, loss of teeth, or changes in your bite, future fixes can be more complex. At Contemporary Prosthodontics, we can help, even if your smile just needs a refresh. Call today to schedule a consultation, 781-934-2300. You'll be amazed how far dental technology has come. Find us at contemporarypro.com.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Don't just listen, say something. Call 781-837-4900. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
We are back. Thank you, George, for parking the beverage cart and getting us back in.
Was that song off a teacher?
It certainly was.
Nice.
Not bad for
like
Beatles
it.
Guy.
I know. I know what I'm doing.
Not bad. So... Joining us here this evening, besides Jared, as I teased at the top of the program, the Brady apologist. Would that nothing be wrong? No, he's no the lover,
you know I am a little mad at him.
The lover of all Tom.
Yes,
is that accurate?
That's perfect.
Okay,
I bought a nice 7-time Super Bowl champion picture. I never wanted to buy anything that listed the amount of Super Bowls he won, because I always knew it would be outdated within a year or two. So he's retired. Let's buy a nice 7-time Super Bowl champion picture with all the ticket stubs in it. The price I won't say on the air, because that's it. He's done. He's going to win a Super Bowl this year. I mean, that's a foregone conclusion.
You really think so?
1,000%. All in. I am a fight. Raise the flags. Fire the cannons. BUCCANEERS. Go Bucks. We're in.
It sounds like you may have renewed your season tickets.
I tried, Matt. I darn near well tried, but unfortunately they're still sold out.
And of course that other voice you just heard was Matt Nelson, Mad Dog Matt Nelson. I will tell you, it's funny because I work with Matt a lot, and you know he does a tremendous job calling all different sports, all different levels from high school to college. And when a couple times I've introduced him to individuals who should know who he is, actually today was one of those where actually a star athlete, when I said, "Do you know who this is?" And the individual had no clue. I said, "That's Mad Dog Matt Nelson." The individual actually sized him up visually, looked him up and down, and goes, "No."
From head to toe.
Head to toe. No. And it's funny. There's been a couple of times it's happened. Once, like the kid knew. Once the kid knew who he was like.
Yeah, he knew who I was, but he didn't know who I was. So when he put two and two together, he just He lost it. He was like, oh my God, you're a celebrity.
He still didn't ask for your autograph, but he was very surprised at who you were, and it was fantastic. Also here as part of the conversation is Newbertson Rateau. Newbie Rateau.
Newbertson, the only person that calls him by my government.
He hates that. I'm sure you're telling me that mom doesn't call you that?
No.
When she's mad at you? She goes, Newbertson.
Barely.
Come on.
Barely.
Not.
I'd say maybe once a year, if that. Maybe once
not,
a decade.
Not Nana Rateau? She doesn't?
No.
Newbertson?
No.
I'm sorry.
Never.
You sound like Vinny Paz for a minute. I've interviewed Vinny Pazienza, and he doesn't go by Pazienza. He goes by Paz because Pazienza is his.
I'd prefer to go by His Excellency, but that's okay.
Oh, you running for governor too?
So we're here to talk a little bit about sports. So again, we're also going to later this hour talk with Newbie and T's got a big world premiere. We had him on a couple of weeks ago, and he was kind of far away. And I'm like, oh, now we'll have him back on so he can kind of really, really gather the folks to come on down to this world premiere of I Am You. That's when it's going to release. I believe it's sold out, but you're also here to kind of give information on more showings.
Yep, folks, our future show all worked out.
I have actually got a sneak preview of this, and this might be your finest work.
It better be. It's our last work. I don't want to regress.
Yeah. But just saying. Although I did see one error. I saw that Matt Nelson's name is in there, the production assistant. That, I don't know, is it too late to kind of scrub his name from that?
Well, we did. We did enter his name differently in the Emmy nomination, so. that's all that matters. It's changed.
Oh,
it's different.
Goodness. Yeah. I love it. We were supposed to have Brendan Conley, but he has been reassigned for the evening, which is kind of a bummer. He may call in. I'm trying to get him to call
in. The Super WATD crossover show spectacular.
It could have been, yeah.
You know, the Sunday night sports show, my Wednesday night show.
I might have got better luck having Quinn Kelly on. I wonder if it's too late.
No. Hey.
But we may hear from
about an hour.
well, one of the things that I had teased was he actually called fantastic championship game this past weekend between Hanover and Morrow. It was the state champion hockey championships.
Congratulations.
I don't know what division it was. What do you,
three,
now, do you know what?
Is it different? That sounds like three.
I think it was three.
Fantastic. If you had a chance to tune into WATD, it was a fantastic back and forth. Now, it might not have been ATD. It might have actually been BMS. And I was going to actually ask Brendan that, but he's not available for comment at this moment. But I also had family that was playing in the game on Team Marlboro, the Panthers. And it was a great game. They ultimately, Hanover came away with it. Of course, another championship for the South Shore. So what we'll do is we'll table that. Actually, I had a sound bite from Quinn Kelly, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Quinn Kelly. Actually, you know what? Just for the hell of it, just so we can hear some Quinn Kelly. I was inspired by Rob Hacklin's one in South Shore Morning News when they played that. George, if you could put the beverage cart away for a second and play that sound cut.
The Hanover Hawks are Division III state champions again for a sixth time in program history. The title is headed back to Hanover. The Hawks knock off the wire-to-wire number one Marlboro Panthers 5-3 as the top line came to play and Liam Monahan stood on his head in the third.
Again, that was Quinn Kelly with the call. And he was right. Marlboro was wire to wire number one. They were a fantastic team. I had two brothers who played on that team. My cousin Brian's boys who decided they were going to play together. I think one is a freshman and one is a senior. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if one dressed or both dressed. But we're going to talk about that for a moment. But let's move on to the main entree, and that is to talk a little bit about, you know, news came out right around the time that Kevin Garnett was having his number raised to the banner.
The disrespect.
Oh, come on. And that's another reason why I got Newbie here, because I know Newbie loves Kevin Garnett.
Who was in charge of the bleep button?
There's not one here. I've been in trouble before.
I think Brian Scalabrine was.
I mean, for that, you're right.
You thought, I mean, listen, you got Kevin Garnett on there. You got to have that bleep button ready and on call. And it was nowhere to be found.
Yeah, but doesn't he have a little extra? I mean, like David Ortiz, like, isn't he allowed to kind of?
No, he's allowed to.
All right.
He's allowed to, but at least be ready.
That FCC fine.
It's cable.
In that case.
It's cable.
It's live television.
It's live television.
I guess it's happened.
Listen, no one cares no more, I guess. It's the last couple of years.
They don't care. But no, so what? We'll go around the table respectively. We'll see Jared for last. Your thoughts on Tom Brady unretiring after 40 days? Mr. Nelson.
I'm fine. I knew he was going to not stay retired. I knew he was only going to last a few months. My issue is with the timing of the announcement. You have this great respect for all of these other Boston sports legends who competed at the same time you did. To overshadow Kevin Garnett's moment is just, it's yet another slap in the face to the people of New England.
Tom Brady doesn't play in New England anymore, Matt. Why would he know that?
Well,
he's out here. He doesn't live here. He doesn't play here.
As a fan, you would hope that he has an ounce of emotion left for this place.
And I'm sure he does, but like, why would he know the Boston Celtics were doing that? And I will add this. I know I was supposed to go last. This is a total tangent. Why Kevin Garnett's number does not deserve to be next to Robert Parrish and Kevin McHale and Bill Russell. He won one championship.
So what?
Hold on. We're gonna unleash
Paul Pierce absolutely deserves to be up there. Kevin Garnett,
Paul Pierce,
too far for me.
Paul Pierce only won one championship.
But he put his heart and soul into the Celtics. He was there for the lean and awful years. I'm not detracting from what Garnett and Allen. It's important. I know that's very unpopular.
And he played
for
with Antoine
fans.
Walker. What's your point?
Antoine Walker not nearly as good or on the level of Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen. Why not retire Ray Allen's number as well? What? And I know that's an extremely third.
No, they're actually talking about doing it next.
I think they should. First of all,
they shouldn't do his either. But I'm sorry.
Antoine Walker is very well fit. Can we just say that for the record? He is very well fit.
He's come out of bankruptcy pretty well.
Oh boy! I tell you what he spent most of his money on. Yeah.
That's very true.
Listen, Kevin Garnett. I don't think Tom Brady cares about Kevin Garnett. Right. I don't think Tom Brady knew Kevin Garnett was being his numbers even being retired. I think Tom Brady was bored, and he realized that I'm eventually going to be home, and I can still play. Tom Brady specifically said that I'm going to retire when I suck, and he had one of his best seasons last year.
Yeah.
So Tom Brady's like, why would I do this for when I'm still kicking butt? You know, he doesn't want to become what Michael Jordan was. When Michael Jordan left the Bulls, Jordan could have still played.
Wait, didn't he lead the Bulls two different times? Did he, pretend to play baseball?
Yeah. Right. I mean, well, he got suspended for gambling, but that's a whole other thing. I mean,
they
covered
history's
that up.
Written by the winners.
Look over here. And then,
yeah, so, I mean, Michael Jordan still could have played, I thought, two or three more years.
Yeah.
And look, Tom Brady, listen, I'm kind of playing like I'm in my prime still. I mean, I'm 43 years old, and right now, football, you can play up into your mid-40s. What Tom Brady is doing is that special. But you can play, look at these quarterbacks right now. You're 32 years old. The way football is and protecting the quarterbacks is touch football right now. You can't even look at the quarterback. I mean, you pass gas, it's a flag, it's 15 yards. He's like, why the heck can't I? You know, I'm going to keep playing until I suck. I eventually think, unfortunately, though, Tom Brady's going to retire when he gets a. And I don't want to wish this on him, some type of serious injury.
He's only had one serious injury.
I think that's the only thing that's going to stop him. I think he's addicted to the game. That's what makes him so great.
He is.
I'm worried about when he fully retires, what the heck is he going to do to other than football? You know, I mean,
I think he moves to a pro golf situation.
but there's been so many. But
maybe ownership. We'll see.
That's possible, and we can get into that in a moment. But I want to give Jared his opportunity to kind of give his thoughts on the situation.
Two pronged. One, I think there is a little bit of smoke to the entire story of Brady and Sean Payton teaming up in Miami.
Odd that they retired at the same time.
Correct. Brady. I mean, Sean Payton, the Saints are like, you know, $75 million in cap hell. So the Saints are going to suck for a very long time. But I think there was a lot of smoke to Brady and Payton in Miami with Brady as the front office man, Sean Payton on the field. The Brian Flores lawsuit, I think, threw a little bit of a monkey wrench into that. And I've said it on my program, I'm absolutely rooting for Brian Flores in that entire scenario because the NFL needs to get a reality check. But as it relates to Tom Brady, one, I hate to sadistically think that Tom Brady might be able to look at the Twitter sphere and the social media world and the media world and go, hey, look, I retire and the entire world stops and looks at me. And then I unretire and the entire world stops and looks at me. I personally don't think he's like that, but to some degree, if you get to that point, it might be hard not to be if you're Tom Brady. Here's what I ultimately think happened. I think to some degree, a little bit of he wanted to keep his hand in football. Being in the front office in Miami was his way to keep his hand in football. When that got shelved, I think he then sat back and looked and saw the Tampa Bay Buccaneers franchised Chris Godwin. They moved a lot of money around to keep a lot of those same pieces from the Super Bowl team together, pieces from last year. They added, I think, the wide receiver from Atlanta. And then you look, Kevin and I were talking off the air. Look, the NFC is a barren wasteland. Yeah. Who is in his way? And the NFC South legitimately sucks.
Aaron Rodgers, but he's thrashed. Yeah, he's thrashed.
Right. They just trade Devontae Adams. So you look at Green Bay basically gives Aaron Rodgers half their payroll. They trade Devontae Adams. They take a major step back. The Cowboys trade Amari Cooper. The only team with any semblance of a quarterback in the NFC South was the Falcons with Matt Ryan. Oh, just kidding. We just sent him to the Indianapolis Colts. Yeah. The Los Angeles Rams are all in on this year. They're going to take a step back. So if you're Brady, you look at it and you go, you know what? I have a pretty darn clear shot at getting to the Super Bowl as long as the team stays healthy. I have a shot at getting to the Super Bowl, winning that one more, and going out like Peyton Manning did on top. And I think that was probably a big part of it, was seeing how significantly the landscape has altered in the NFC.
You got to remember, Tom Brady was pretty much had the Rams beat. It was current Super Bowl champion.
I was at that game.
I mean, they had the Rams beat.
Yep.
And then, you know, the defense couldn't stop with no.
They tied the game. He came back, was it
27-3?
Yeah.
I mean, sounded familiar. Right there.
But you don't think that for one moment Tom Brady wasn't upset at his coach going,
my seats were right. I'm watching Cooper Kupp run down the side, and I'm like yelling, cover Cooper. Why is nobody covering Cooper Kupp?
Yeah, yeah.
42 seconds. The Rams have no timeouts. I think this is another little part of him. I'm glad you just jogged my memory, Kevin. Bruce Arians is an idiot, and I think Brady got tired of that. But I think he figured, you know what, we'll be able to massage this. He went to Manchester United game with the Glazer family, who owns Man U and the Buccaneers. So I think when you watch that game, as Newby just said, they were there. And they should have won that game. Mm. They would have hosted that NFC Championship game. And they would have beat, it would have been San Francisco. They would have absolutely beat San Francisco in Tampa Bay. So I think he's not of this earth. I don't know what it is that, like, he tweets out unfinished business. What is there unfinished? You're the most accomplished professional athlete, potentially, in all of North American team sport history. What do you have left to prove? And yet he still has more to prove.
Well, I mean, there were rumors abound that he was tired of playing for Tampa Bay, that maybe he might want to go home and play for the 49ers. Yeah. I don't know if the 49ers would have been any better. They drafted a quarterback last year. You still got Jimmy G, who was the understudy to Brady for many, many years. Matt, what do you think?
I agree with Jared to a certain extent. You know, I think that something else was in the works that fell apart, whether it was Miami with Peyton or not. Who knows? I think his dream is still to play for the San Francisco 49ers.
I think so, too.
At some point, it'll maybe only be for a year, but he's going to convince them to go all in on that one year and win a championship.
He just becomes a mercenary. I love it.
The one thing he has left to prove, I don't think he has a three-peat.
He does not have a three-peat.
He doesn't.
That said, if he were to go to San Francisco, so there's not a lot left for him to tackle, pun intended, in NFL record lore. One of the few things left. No reigning NFL MVP has ever won a Super Bowl, including him, Super Bowl 52, when they lost the Eagles. The year before that, Matt Ryan was the MVP. They lost the Patriots.
It's like the Sports Illustrated curse. Is if you win...
Hey, I got those magazines, by the way. The GOAT says farewell. Day after he unretired. Continue, sorry.
What?
The idea is
if you win the MVP...
Right.
It's been a long time. I would say 1999 might have been the last time that an MVP actually won the Super Bowl.
To my knowledge, it's never happened.
No, I think it has happened.
Who was the NFL MVP in 1999? I'd have to look it up. I mean,
Kurt Warner?
Could have been. I know Warner was it in 2001 when they lost to the Patriots.
No, Kurt Warner, they won in 99, didn't they?
The Rams won in 99, yeah. Yes. I will Google this real quick. But I mean,
Google is your friend.
It is. But to that end, I think that... you know, that's one of the things left to prove. To your point, Kevin, about Brady going to the San Francisco 49ers. Look, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning are the only two quarterbacks to win a Super Bowl for two different teams. Brady, the only one to do it in two different conferences. So, hey, if he went to the 49ers and somehow pulled off a
third
Super Bowl
team.
Win, that would be a third
unheard
team.
Of.
Totally unheard of. I mean, sure. There's, you know, I mean, again, I mean, he's pretty close to the most championships, NFL championships, through the whole history of any player. So, you know, to that end, I think, he loves to play the game. He said he'd retire when he saw it. I feel stupid for not have really reading his... my intuition is usually a little bit better. So, yes, Matt, I did give up the season tickets. Thankfully, I have some friends who are willing to let me sort of buy back in. But I thought I didn't think he would have pulled this game. This is the only thing. This is the first time in my life that I've been upset with Tom Brady because I didn't think he'd pull that game. I didn't think he'd play this.
What's the game, though? I love playing football.
No, the game is I'm retiring. I didn't think he would do that.
Yeah, I think I agree with what Matt said. Number one, I think he says he's going to retire I'm going to retire when I suck. But
or my wife divorces me.
Or either one. I don't think that even stop him. Honestly, I don't think that's stop him.
No. If we're playing crosswords here, I'm thinking of a four-letter word that starts with a D. Diva. I think that he has turned into the... I feel that you have these modern athletes who want to have these, you know, teams that are all-star teams, you know, like the LeBron Jameses and the one, you know, the Kyrie Irvings and the Kevin Durant, huh?
What a great player is not a diva? Just go back to the 80s. Go back to Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan. I mean, they had Hall of Famers they played with.
But prior to, I want to say...
People forget Magic Johnson wanted to leave L.A. after his first three years.
If we go back 5 to 7 years ago, was Tom, maybe he was a closet diva. Maybe he was somebody who, because the Tom Brady that I knew for the first 10 to 15 years was, you know, team first and take team-friendly deals and, you know, play with who I have. I mean, he was throwing touchdown passes to the guys who were unloading docks in his early years, and now all of a sudden he has to be playing with best talent.
And he had a sense of humility back then, too.
But guys, it worked. His quarter, let's just say, whatever you want to call it, his mentality worked. They got 6 championships in New England. So he has credibility to him being a quote-unquote diva. Him being a diva works. You know, LeBron James, call it whatever he wants. The guy wins. Jordan's a diva. He wins. You know, these superstars who win. Now, if you're a diva and lose,
can you name one guy who didn't need to have an all-star team around him? Who was it? You know who it is. You growing up, probably had his jersey.
Who didn't need an all-star? What are you talking about? What sport are you talking about?
Basketball.
Who didn't? I mean, the only thing I could think of was Detroit Pistons.
Michael Jordan.
No, Michael Jordan had 2 Hall of Famers.
His earlier years, did he have?
Wait,
but he didn't
Jordan
win.
Made them
he had a Hall of Fame coach, Scottie Pippen, okay, and Hall of Fame, I'd say, arguably power forward, Horace Grant. I mean...
I think to the Brady diva thing, I mean, the bottom line is this. He played...
Is it a diva or he has a chip on his shoulder?
Well, he has a chip on his shoulder, and I think towards the latter end where people started saying he was a diva, I think there's a couple of things to keep in mind with Magic, with Jordan, and going back even in the NFL. Mm. First of all, the advent of social media has made it a lot easier for players to appear to be more unhappy or voice opinions that maybe they would grumble about in private or to reporters privately then now they can just tweet it or throw it up on Instagram.
Right.
To that end, I think Tom Brady played a significantly longer game, although I think he sort of accidentally happened into this. He just wanted to play football. And when he was on those early teams, the Patriots fans love to make that argument, Kevin, about, well, Brady was throwing to guys on loaded docks. Brady didn't win Super Bowls with those guys. Troy Brown was a 1,000-yard receiver. Then he had Branch and Givens in the other 2 years. Plus, he had Troy Brown. He's had Gronk, Edelman, Randy Moss. They go undefeated. Although they didn't win a Super Bowl, they made it to one, and they made it to another one after that with Chad Ochocinco. Well, and then, of course, Edelman and the collection of talent they had before. I think he played a longer game realizing, if I win and the team wins and we keep winning, the earnings potential that I will have far beyond playing in the National Football League will be beyond my wildest dreams. And he's been with Giselle a long time, and I think Giselle managed to instill that idea in him. Brady brand. You can buy athleisure sweatpants for $100 with Brady stitched on the rear end. Woohoo! But you can buy that. The TB12 method. Like, he is such a diversified brand now. And the last thing I'll just say before I forget it is to the diva. He's not a I don't think he's a diva. He's not a diva. I think with the Patriots, and Patriots fans keep pivoting back to this, oh, he was kind of a pain towards the end. Well, you know what? He took team-friendly deals on the promise that they would spend the money on getting him the talent needed around him. When they either didn't do that or whiffed or missed miserably, that's when he finally said, all right, screw it. Well, if you're not going to do it, if you're not going to put the talent around me, then just pay me at this point.
Let me ask a question. What wife or girlfriend does not say, listen, you're being taken advantage of? That's what
right,
she's
exactly.
saying.
You're
the
so
Patriots
right.
are playing him.
Perfect.
And he
Perfect.
Figured it out.
Perfectly
stated. Just, and this is tongue-in-cheek here, but it's this one person that Tom probably should thank and owe a majority of his career to. Who do you think that is? Let's see if you guys, this is what I think. Let's go around the room. Who do you think?
It's got to be the offensive line coach of the New England Patriots.
Skarnecki.
No.
It's got to be Dante Skarnecki.
One player, Brian Cox.
One person.
Brian Cox.
That was Mo Lewis.
No, I'm sorry, bro, Mo Lewis. I'm sorry, Mo
yes!
Lewis. Mo Lewis.
He's right.
Brian Cox is the one that hit
Mo Lewis,
the receiver.
Yes. If Mo Lewis never knocked Drew Bledsoe out of the game, we may not have seen Tom Brady.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, and you know,
he should be sending him a Christmas card.
He probably
with a
does.
Lot of green in it.
Maybe a
bit every
point.
Year.
And
you know,
and
look,
Vinatieri
yeah.
might have been cut too.
Yeah, I mean, people forget, right. you know, people forget too. Bledsoe came out for another series after that hit, and then I think when they realized he was completely out of it was when they were like, all right, you're done. But I agree, Kevin, with the idea that Mo Lewis really managed to, to give us Tom Brady. Look, Bill Belichick without Tom Brady hasn't really been all that much. And I don't mean to put it that way, but by and large, I'm a huge fan of Coach Belichick, but I think players need to play. And as good as Belichick is, you still need guys on the field to execute that game plan. And there was nobody better at it. And look, you can't, and I've talked about this for years, you can't replicate the chip on the shoulder. I love Mac Jones. He's a great kid, a great quarterback. But look, the Cleveland Browns are already moving on from their number one pick just a few years ago. You can't teach that chip on the shoulder. That's just an intangible. And when you're
That's what a sixth-round pick does.
Exactly. And when you're that first-round pick in a blue chip, whether it be Mac playing at a ranked high school team all the way up to Alabama, the greatest college football program maybe in history, and then a first-round pick, again, great kid, great player, immensely talented, but the chip on the shoulder just doesn't get taught. You need it, and Brady still has it maniacally 7 Super Bowls and 23 years later.
We have to acknowledge that Tom Brady, guys, we're probably never going to see this ever again in our
never.
Lives.
In any sport.
And, you know, I'm 33, you know, Tom Brady's been in my life since I've been 12.
Me too. We're the same age.
So, I mean, realistically, I mean, I have to train myself. This is not normal. And it's hard.
It is.
It's not normal what Tom Brady's doing.
Well, look at so many Patriots fans. You know, one of my co-hosts said at one point on the air, I'd happily trade the last few years of Tom Brady for 20 years of Mac Jones. I go, do you think quarterbacks play 20 years? That doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen.
This doesn't happen. Peyton Manning even played 20 years.
No,
like,
nobody
that just doesn't happen.
And dominant all 20 years.
Right. That's
it's all about the pliability.
It is. Avocado ice cream.
Yes, that's what it is.
That's actually very good, by the way. It really is.
I haven't tried it.
Seriously.
Why don't we do this? Let's take a break, because I feel that we may have an addition to the show in a few moments. Let's take a break, and when we come back, more of the Monday Night Talk Sports Roundtable here at 95.9 WHD.
is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
With summer coming, it's time to enjoy alfresco dining at the Patio at McGuigan's. The Patio at McGuigan's serves up dishes like Koji steak tips, 14-ounce pork chops, and chicken masala. Have you heard about the Patio Sampler Platter? It's a dish worth driving to. And you can enjoy live entertainment every Friday and Saturday night at the Patio at McGuigan's. Patio at McGuigan's is at 552 Washington Street in Whitman Center. And check out McGuigan's Pub next door at 546 Washington Street.
Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959WATD.com/Monday Night Talk.
Get it. We're toast. All right, here we go. We are back.
The Patriots bite the dust.
Now, I don't know where he went. He was supposed to be.
Oh, he's on his way.
He's on his way, and folks are like, going, what are you talking about? You are tuned into Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD. You can sit down, Mr. Guest. We should obviously just give you a golf clap. Thank you very much for joining us. Brendan Conley, WATD sports reporter. Also, somebody who we know from Sunday nights, the Sports Exchange.
It's good to be back, Kevin. How are you doing?
It's good. I don't know. Can you hear him okay, George? Is that thing even working?
You got to turn me up,
I think. Yeah. Yeah. Turn him up. Let's try it again. Talk into it.
Can you hear me now?
Mm. No. All right. Let's do this. Why don't you share the mic with Jared?
That's dangerous.
That could be dangerous.
Although we've sort of moved on from the Brady stuff, so I won't be as animated.
Thank you. Yeah, you missed your chance on that one. While we have you here, because kind of the key point of having you here was the weekend sports. You did the call of the game with Quinn Kelly.
Yes, the Hanover Marlboro game. Correct. Yes.
Yeah. Do we want to play the game, George? Just to remind our guests here.
The Hanover Hawks are Division III state champions again for a sixth time in program history. The title is headed back to Hanover. The Hawks knock off the wire-to-wire number one Marlboro Panthers 5-3 as the top line came to play and Liam Monahan stood on his head in the third.
So, give us a quick breakdown on that. What was it like calling that game? Because my understanding from what you told me was this was a back-and-forth affair between these two clubs.
Oh, it was definitely back-and-forth. Hanover jumps out to a 2-0 lead. Marlboro scores two quick goals themselves after basically being outplayed for almost two full periods. They go to the third, and Hanover's able to pull away. They get an open net goal with about a minute and a half left, and that kind of sealed the win for them. So it was a back and forth, another win for Hanover, third consecutive title, I believe, for them.
Just calling a game like that, does it remind you of any other calls? Because you've done a couple of championship games.
Oh, we've done.
Didn't your hometown team win Scituate?
The Super Bowl, yes. Last minute, they scored a game-winning two-point try against Duxbury. First time a team has beaten Duxbury from the Patriot League since 2009, if I'm not mistaken. So it was definitely historic. It's been a great season overall, though. I think this has been one of our better years for high school sports around the entire South Shore.
What do you think, Mr. Nelson? You've called your share of games this year as well.
Of the fans, especially, shout out to the fans of high school sports. They have absolutely shown up and shown out across every single postseason that we've seen so far.
That's because they haven't been in the postseason for 2 years. I mean, they're releasing our energy right now.
Yeah, it's just been like a play. Yeah, it's usually just a play-in game where they find some round-robin way to give you a conference championship or, well, what would you call it, Matt? What were some of the terms that they used during COVID? Because it wasn't necessarily like...
The Patriot Cup.
You had all the league titles. The South Shore League had a tournament.
Yeah.
And they
it's like a playing tournament.
The tournament of the Holy Donut.
The Abington Green right. Wave were victorious in that one.
Right. But at that point, the Super Bowl, Abington Rockland, which was great. And
like five South Shore teams won their Super Bowls.
Yeah. No, and it was great. And before I forget, Kevin, because I meant to do this at the top, but as commissioner, I would like to congratulate the Hanover Hawks on their victory on behalf of myself and Representative DeCoste, who represents the town of Hanover.
Very nice.
Get that quick little plug in. So congratulations to Hanover on another championship.
So, Mr. Connolly, you missed out on the Tom Brady talk because we're not backtracking here.
Oh, that's too bad.
We're moving forward. But, well, you know what? You get a chance to weigh in on, you know, there's been a lot of trades, and a lot of trades that we were,
many involving the Patriots.
Hold on. Did you forget Shaq Mason, Chase Winovich? Come on. These are big trades.
I mean, going the other way. Yes. Going out of town, and going down Route 1.
And they got half a bag of stale peanuts for those two players.
I mean,
and a tackling dummy.
And a Friday's gift card.
Yes.
Applebee's.
No, you had big Russell Wilson. I mean, he was long rumored that, you know, where is he going to go? Denver. Oh, my God.
Well, that's just another team that passed you, meeting the Patriots. I don't think it's going to be easy this year at all. I think the Patriots might even be the seventh team in the AFC, maybe even out on the outside looking in at the eighth. There's been so many teams that have been loading up this offseason, and frankly, they haven't done too much, to be honest.
Deshaun Watson goes to Cleveland.
That was a stunner.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. I'll echo Brendan. I mean, right now it's really tough as a Patriots fan to who are the teams that you're better than? I mean, it's you're better than the Jets still, I think. You're better than the Jaguars still, hopefully.
Right, and where do they reside when it comes to football and standings?
I mean, they're always in last.
Yes.
The Bills got better with Von Miller.
Oh, God.
Of course, the AFC West is a juggernaut. And with the expanded playoff format now, conceivably, all four of those teams could conceivably make the playoffs. Not likely based on tiebreakers, but you could have three of those teams as the wild cards. Cleveland's always a joke to me. So, like, that just, it's like the Lions. That's just not going to do anything. We'll see what Deshaun Watson does there. But they got Watson. I think they got Amari Cooper, right?
Yeah, so, they traded for him.
Yeah, they traded for him. And that's just, again, another example to tie in why Brady would come back. The NFC is completely depleted. The AFC is. The AFC is totally loaded for bear. The Patriots are still operating with the impression that they've got this otherworldly quarterback who is able to mask and put the team literally on his shoulders and carry them to some improbable victories. Okay. And
we'll get to that. That's on the list.
Yes, I'm jumping the gun a little.
Devontae Adams.
That was the shocker.
Well, and what's funny is, I also want to make sure we mention signings or free agents, is would Aaron Rodgers have signed a $200 million contract knowing that a guy who didn't play for a year, might be suspended for a year, is going to beat him, you know, get a reworked contract for $230 million in Deshaun
Watson? I'm having problems with hearing you, Kevin. Did you say would Aaron Rodgers sign a $200 million contract?
No, I'm saying...
Of course you would. Okay, who's on that team?
But the thing is, let me give you more information here, okay?
You could have just stopped at that sentence.
I know I could have. But the problem is I think he wanted to be the highest paid quarterback, and I think that he wanted to retain Devontae Adams, the guy who he threw 123 passes to, or completed 123 passes to last year, is now gone.
I don't think Aaron Rodgers cares that much about winning. God's honest truth. I think if he gets his numbers, he gets his stats, he gets in the playoffs, he wins the playoffs. A game. I think he's happy.
Consecutive MVP awards.
I don't think getting him mad. I'm getting him losses. I don't think losses get him mad. They don't get him pissed off like Tom Brady does. Tom Brady, fuming.
State of mind.
Yeah, I think all right, cool. I got my stats, my MVP. I'm okay. I got my money. I'm all right.
Mr. Nelson,
how many players in the league now get paid more than the commissioner of the league? It's got to be
No, the commissioner, he pulls, about 45, 50 million?
He gets about 45 mil. So Rodgers is now getting 50 mil a year.
That'll change soon.
Yeah, that's right.
That'll change soon. Sure. Everyone's pay raises go up.
It's good money if you can get it.
Well, jumping back to the Patriots, I think you got to worry about a lot of teams now. Look at today. Indianapolis just got better. They added Matt Ryan.
Oh, please.
Matt Ryan's their quarterback now instead of Carson Wentz. That is a huge upgrade. Come on.
Really?
Massive upgrade.
But that's like going from suck to stink.
Matt Ryan's an MVP. I mean, he had a massive upgrade. He had a terrible team around him.
Well, not only is it a huge upgrade, but look at the AFC South. The Texans trade Deshaun Watson, and they're probably not going to be any better. Titans, I mean, Julio Jones was injured, but Ryan Tannehill is just not that
great.
Did they just
bring Woods in? Didn't they just trade for Woods?
Titans, I believe so. Yeah. But nonetheless, you know, you look at the AFC South. That's the division the Colts play.
And the Titans are a running team.
But like, if Derrick Henry gets out, like, hurt, like he did last year, and with the Colts, to Brendan's point, they did pretty darn well last year with Carson Wentz, who sucks. Now you upgrade to Matt Ryan, who, look, I went to the game in Tampa Bay last year against Atlanta. Matt Ryan is still a pretty darn good quarterback who's more than capable of making plays. Just another example of an AFC team getting better while an NFC team.
He?
Oh, God. I mean, I remember him in college, what, 06, 07. So, I mean, he's up there, but, you know, he's
probably like 37.
Still a serviceable quarterback.
And they still
34.
Have Cincinnati still is around with Joe Burrow. I mean, they're not going anywhere.
Let me check Google on that one.
How do we forget the reigning AFC champions?
You know, but
have the Bengals found anyone to stop him from getting sacked 9 times a game?
It's called an offensive line. You got to have one.
I don't think the Bengals do. Have they signed
anybody? No, they have. They signed Karras from the Patriots.
I'm told.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Another ill-fated Bill Belichick.
And then who is the offensive tackle from Dallas that Dallas just released?
Lyle Collins.
Yes, and I think they signed him, too.
Didn't he go to the Browns? Or did he go to the Steelers? Where did he go?
It's in that division somewhere.
Somewhere in there. I thought it was the Browns for some reason. But
And then who does the Hawks sign as soon as they trade away Ryan?
You mean the Falcons?
The Falcons, yes.
Marcus Mariota.
I was thinking basketball.
I was waiting for Baker Mayfield to come out of the sky, but apparently not.
So where does Baker go?
Pittsburgh.
You think so?
I think that's
Pittsburgh. That call.
Yep.
I like that call. Pittsburgh, maybe Tennessee. They can try and upgrade.
Didn't Pittsburgh just sign somebody, though?
Mitch Trubisky. Not necessarily a world beater.
On the move, Mitch.
That's true.
I mean, he is an upgrade over Ben Roethlisberger, who was basically an 87-year-old man running in the backfield last year.
How many Super Bowls did he win them, though?
2.
All right, thank you.
I think going forward, I think L.A. and Las Vegas is going to be a powerhouse for a while. I think, number one, that against new franchise, they got a lot of money flooding into that stadium. Listen, it's L.A. and Vegas. You're a young player. I think watch out for them next couple of years. I think Derek Carr really gets a bad rap. But when he's surrounded with good talent and you got a good quarterback coach like Josh McDaniels, be surprised if he has one of his best seasons this coming year.
But the thing is that Josh McScreen passes.
McScreen passes.
As Matt calls him.
Josh.
Well,
that is the term that I lovingly...
Was that Josh or was that Bill? Because Josh seems like he's the type of person... Yeah. Who really likes to switch it up. I mean, he likes his little trick plays and everything. I think some of those screen passes might be a little Belichick. Hey, you know.
But does Josh do what he did in Denver? He'll go 6-0, and then he just skunks for the rest of the year.
How can you with that roster?
Who did he have as quarterback, though? That's not a fair argument.
Tim Tebow.
Exactly.
Tim Tebow.
I mean, so he had no choice but to get those cute little screen passes.
I'll always say I got to see Tebow's last thrown touchdown pass for the Patriots. About 10 years ago. It was great. Preseason game. Brady didn't play, but did get to see Tebow throw a touchdown.
Maybe the Patriots will sign him as tight end.
Again, if you're just tuning in, you are tuned in to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD. Got a little bit of a sports roundtable going on. Brendan Conley finally joins us. Thank you, Brendan. You hear him on the morning news as he does the updates. One thing I am curious, though, is sometimes I never hear Abington scores in there, but I hear everybody else's.
You're just listening to the wrong one.
Oh, really? It's more than one?
Oh, yeah. There's usually 1-2.
Okay.
You got to split it up.
Okay. Nice to hear.
Got to keep the listeners
hungry. I usually listen all morning, so okay. I'll put that.
But you just got to make sure you're tuned in at the right time.
You do a very nice job, though.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Sports reports. It's not easy to compile that and then put it in such an eloquent way that folks, you know, get to hear how the sons and daughters do out on the field or on the court.
It's important. We got to tell it to the community, don't we? I mean, that's what we're all about here at WATD, the South Shore's biggest and only radio station.
The most underrated ticket is the MIAA basketball courtside seat. I mean, in the playoffs?
Oh, yeah.
Tell you what, it's fun.
And that voice is Nubi Ritoh, award-winning documentarian. And we'll be talking with him in about 10 minutes about the premiere of I Am You. We'll talk with him about that. It's premiering in Foxborough, I believe, this Thursday. Of course.
Pedro's got to sign somebody, so I decided to step up and just do it myself.
There you go. Plymouth County Commissioner, host of the JV team Wednesday nights, 6:15 to 7, Jared Valenzuela. He's been my co-pilot.
Yeah, I think it's we're about 20 minutes from landing, so make sure your seat trays are up, your seats are in the upright position.
Very nice. Staying with the analogy.
Seat belts are on. Prepare for landing.
Where nothing can go wrong.
And Mad Dog Nelson, this is almost kind of like a birthday gift to him. Tomorrow he turns 29.
Yes. Tom Brady's been playing almost as long as he's been alive, Matt.
That is true. I did, unlike Gen Z or whatever we're calling the generation born post-2000, I did have to suffer through about 8 to 9 years of horrible sports teams.
What? Really?
Yeah, what? The '90s.
Yeah, I was.
I remember
the
Rod Rust years.
Year.
Dick McPherson.
Hey, I'll tell you, I was delivering Brockton Enterprises when Tom Brady was a rookie and then took over for Bledsoe. So
listen, I remember the Greg.
That's a kick it back to how long ago that was.
Greg Minor years, Purvis Ellison. I remember those years.
Yeah,
Ron Mercer.
I had a Bledsoe jersey.
As did I.
I had a Bledsoe jersey. Ty Law was the first jersey I got when they did the uniforms.
Remember Troy O'Leary, Red Sox years?
Yeah,
Troy Offerman.
Oh, I loved Offerman.
Dante Bichette.
Trot Nixon. Oh, yeah.
Now you have Travis Story.
I could probably still do that entire lineup.
Trevor, right?
Veritek, Dawbuck, like you said, at first, Offerman at second, Nomar at short, Valentin at third, O'Leary in left, Carl Everett in center. And Trot Nixon and Wright.
That's one of the first teams that I actually remember watching.
I disgustingly could do the Yankees.
And now
we've got
all their kids playing for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Now, wasn't it Valentin who had the only unassisted triple play?
I believe so.
Yeah.
One of the only in baseball history.
Yes.
The coolest sport in history is
that's only here.
I think that, yeah. I think the coolest play in across all three sports is a triple play. I'm sorry, that's just like you see that. I've been at Fenway for a triple play. That's just nerdy.
Perfect game.
That's just nerdy. Well, I mean, that's pretty darn cool, too.
Yes, I know we're off topic before, which makes Pedro so great. For him to bring that team to at least the ALCS.
Oh, yeah.
Those bunch of scrubs, I mean, wow.
Pedro's first ballot. Tom Brady is obviously my number one of my lifetime. Pedro is cemented at number two. Big Papi, a very, very close third.
I was at Fenway when Big Papi hit that game-tying grand slam in the ALCS against Detroit, and he'll always be my number two just because of that one moment. Just seeing that live.
Pedro's my number two, and Davis 2A.
Well, we got a few more minutes left here. We should probably get to your gripes about the Patriots and their lack of spending and doing anything. Who wants to start? Go ahead, Matt.
All I want to say, Bill Belichick is a great coach. He's an absolutely horrible general manager.
Well, when you have other competitors taking your general managers... Don't forget the general manager who did
but
all the drafting.
He is the general manager.
But I'm talking about the guy who is the, you know, the front man as the general manager, per se.
He can't draft. He can't attract free agents when you don't have the greatest quarterback of all time playing for the team.
But his charisma, Matt.
I know. It's off the charts.
I would say if I were a football player, I would sign with the Patriots just so I could get a front row seat to his post-game press conferences every week.
I mean, that guy lights up a room, doesn't he? Witty.
Irreverent.
Life of the party.
Are you guys doubting the Patriots are going to do well this season?
I think this... it sounds crazy, but if Belichick does not bring his team to the playoffs and win at least one game... His job, I think, should be on the line. As a general manager, it may not be. I don't think Robert Kraft really has the guts to do it.
No, I think
his job should be on the line.
He needs to do what Jerry Jones needs to do in Dallas. He needs to fire himself as general manager.
Yeah, but who is this? Who would be prior to Mike McCarthy? Who was his coach?
Jason Garrett.
And how long did Jason Garrett live in obscurity? His record was 8-8, 7-9, 8-8, and
he was there forever because
he had the weatherman approach. He failed at his job. It's the same thing with Brad Stevens. He failed at his job 70% of the time, and for some reason, Garrett held on to his job for like 5 years.
Because he was a company
years.
man. He was the puppet.
Yeah, he was.
He took the heat. That's exactly why he kept his job. You can play that role, and you'll keep your job for a while.
And that slick hair. Then you have great hair, though.
Well, I think the big thing to remember, though, is when you look at Belichick,
who else is out there for an NFL head coach? I mean, the Cowboys bring in Mike McCarthy, who's just a famously bad coach. He's just not a good coach. The bottom line is spend. Look, Belichick spent a lot last year, had some hits, had quite a few misses. Goes to show you can't build a team in free agency like that. It just doesn't work. His drafts have been fairly poor the last couple of years.
His coaching staff is poor, too.
His coaching staff is diminishing. He has his kids on there, which is fine, I guess. But, like, you know, you look at the talent, again, you know, that Brady had on the field. Look at what Belichick walked in with. Charlie Weiss, Romeo Crennel, Eric Mangini, Al Groah. Yeah, he even brought in Josh McDaniels all the way back then. And he's had that type of talent sphere around him for so many years. He doesn't have that. And, you know, to some degree, that might become an issue. I think he drafted pretty well, all things considered, last year. Obviously, Mac Jones was a hit, which shouldn't say that when it's a first-round pick, but granted, plenty of teams miss on first-round picks. Ramondre Stevenson was pretty good.
Nikhil Harry on that one.
Right. Devin Godchild was pretty good. So I think he finally at least had some hits last year. But, Matt, you said it. At the end of the day, people aren't going to come to New England to play in super cold, awful weather. Newby said it too about Los Angeles and Las Vegas. Guys are going to want to go there more than they're going to want to come here. You don't have the greatest quarterback of all time anymore. The Patriots can't spend this year. They have no money. They spent it all last year to become
the teams that are spending like there's no tomorrow. Is there really a cap?
I mean, there is, because they're massaging it around. I mean, they shelled out a lot of money. I mean, Jonnu Smith is like a $35 million cap hit right now. Like, that is significant, and maybe he'll pan out this year. Didn't pan out last year.
Here's my concern about the Patriots.
Yeah, he very well could be.
Just real quick, here's my concern about the Patriots. They don't have, like you said, the allure of Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Bill Belichick, this younger coaches now, you know, who are attracting these free agents. I'm not sure Belichick. I think Belichick's having a tougher time relating to these players. When you got players, well, right. Who's a coach for the Rams? I'm blanking on his name.
Sean McVay.
You know, maybe a younger guy who can kind of relate a little better to the players. Belichick, for a younger player, doesn't have that mistake that he did, right, you know, 5-6 years ago. So you don't have a quarterback, you don't have the coach, and you have the code. It's going to be difficult. Unfortunately, we're starting all over. Yeah, I don't know.
Very much so.
All right. Last words on the Patriots, Mr. Nelson.
I think they'll go, let's see, 17-game season again this year. They'll probably go
7-10.
I wouldn't go that bad. I think they'll probably win 10 games. I think they'll go 10-7 and miss the playoffs.
I called it last year
10-7.
And
the AFC West is sweeping the wild cards.
I called last year 10-7, make the playoffs. I'm saying this year 8-9, miss.
Brendan Conley.
Gonna say they're gonna have the exact same record, but they will also miss. Right on the outside, they might tie one of the last seeds, but they will miss unless they add another piece or two.
Okay. I think they'll make the playoffs 10-7, and the AFC West going to beat up on each other. So
there is that opportunity.
I don't think everyone can make it in the West.
Well, guys, thank you. Great segment. You're welcome to stick while we talk and ask questions of Newbie. Newbie, it's your time to talk a little bit about your premiere. Give us the details of this documentary while we have you for a few more minutes.
Well, speaking of Fox Sports, speaking of, you know, Patriots, we want to bring one more award-winning project to the land. So we're gonna premiere our newest documentary, IMU, at Foxborough Patriot Place Showcase Cinema. Show's 100% sold out. We're excited. We're gonna have a lot of special guests coming from people come from California, flying up from Florida, from Baltimore. We're excited about that. But we are going to do a second screening April 20th in Brockton. That's co-sponsored by the NAACP. That's actually going to be free to the public, because the NAACP is going to be sponsoring the whole thing, which is awesome. So it's going to be a document that's going to make people uncomfortable, show empathy, and have perspective. The way I do my documentaries, we all know, I don't, you know, it's not my job to pick a side. It's my job to make you uncomfortable and hear other people's perspective. And then you make the decision from there. That's my style. That's how me and Will do our documentaries. That's kind of our MO. We kind of go right down the middle. So it's good. You know, we talk about liberal conservative side, about immigration. It gets very uncomfortable, to be quite frank with you. I mean, you've seen it, Kevin. It gets very uncomfortable. But ultimately, I think people watch it and say, you know what, that was fair. And it may change some minds and some perspectives. Listen, I went down to the border, myself and Will. I went down to the border and I saw it myself. I need to see that to tell the story. And there are some things that that the conservative side has some valid points on. Maybe the delivery wasn't correct, but there's some valid points that they have, and I think people need to hear it. And there's some really valid points that we have here in the New England area. I think the issue is that geographically, New England and Southern California is different in how they see immigration, because one is right next to the border and the other is not. So there's two different problems, and I'm questioning if they're ever going to see eye to eye, because they're geographically in two different locations. And I think that's what causes the divide.
Matt, you get to see some of the production of this. What was it like seeing this being put together?
Throughout the process, one word absolutely comes to mind before anything else: thorough. There is a thorough job being done of, like you said, Newbie, telling both sides of the story. You interviewed the people directly involved. You interviewed immigrants, I believe both documented and undocumented.
Yes.
You know, to get their side of what's the story like, you know, from them. If they're trying to get in the legal way and they're having a tough time, those stories are being told. It's very, very thorough job on both sides of the aisle.
But even though you're telling a story, is there not an artistic side to it as well?
Well, absolutely. You know, we want to tell a story in an entertaining way. And we definitely, you know, one thing I think, one of our talents is telling a story in a way where you have a wave of emotions. You will laugh, you will get upset, and you will cry, probably in this documentary. You'll go through all three emotions. So, I have a very fast-paced editing style. I have a style I coin edit with aggression. I don't like wasting time. So my attention span is probably 6 to 7 seconds. So it's probably a cut, whether 6 or 7 seconds in the documentary, the whole way. You know, we have a very fast, quick style, and we have a style where people are finishing other people's sentences to further prove I am you. So we have different perspectives, but we're actually saying the same thing, but we just saying it from different sides of the aisle. Listen, I talked to a mother. Her son was killed by someone who's undocumented. I've always compared that to someone who has a son who might have been killed by someone who was a police officer. No matter how things work, they're going to see something completely different that you have to somewhat see their perspective, or at least try to empathize with. You know, if someone was killed by a police officer, you may have an opinion towards police officers that I may never have.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly with someone who's undocumented, with someone, you know, so, you know, and then we talked to a former student of mine who's a dreamer. I'm talking about just dynamite kid. Get this. He's a community service winner for Skills USA.
Wow.
And no one knew he was undocumented. I think someone like that deserves maybe some citizenship, okay? So stories like that, people maybe on the border who live in the southern border don't hear. And then stories like when the mother was, her son was killed by someone undocumented, are stories we don't hear. Because the gang problem is as prevalent as it is here, as it is, you know, in Los Angeles and Southern California.
Now, you had a gentleman named Carlito.
Yes.
Here. Talk to me about him and some of the other faces and voices we see in this film.
Well, Carlito is kind of the three people in the film who are the main people in the film. Carlito, his father was had a lot of immigration issues through deportation. We have Eric Hernandez, who is a dreamer. And we have Agnes Gibney, who President Trump coined Angel Mom. And Angel Moms are mothers who've had their sons or daughters killed by people who are undocumented. So three people, three completely different perspectives talking about the immigration issue. That's the documentary. So it's so weaving those stories amongst those three perspectives. So I think it's very uniquely done. I don't think a lot of documentarians have done something like that from three completely different sides. I'm actually going to meet with her on Wednesday. She's coming in from California. We're going to actually have a dinner, and we're going to talk with her and Carlito, two different sides. Just going to have a dinner and talk, before our panel discussion and screening the next day.
How successful do you feel are the panel discussions that follow the films?
Oh, I think they're hugely successful. And I think this one, I'm more excited about this one for more than one reason. Number one, it's just such a issue that's so relevant to now. Number two, I think ultimately, I think everyone watching the documentary, listening to people speak on the documentary, they want the same thing. They want the same goals, how to get there. So, you know, I'm curious how the discussion is going to be, but I think it's going to be very, maybe uncomfortable, but very productive, you know, for people to kind of see what people are going through. I think people need to realize, when you're doing a documentary, there's not sometimes a happy ending. There's sometimes a bad ending. And then sometimes there's no ending where people are still going through it.
Mm.
Okay? So, listen, we're talking about people are undocumented trying to, you know, get to certain locations and, you know, driver's licenses, which is something that's in the House right now. You know, that's something that's going on. That's a real life thing. So I think the documentary humanizes a story that this document, these three people, three main people in the documentary, they all have the story that's really kind of incomplete still. You know, one person hasn't seen their father in 12 years who's been deported. One person is still a dreamer, still trying to fight deportation. The other person whose son was murdered, that the perpetrator is out of prison and she doesn't know where he is right now. That's going on today. So the documentary kind of gives that human part of it. I think the panel will do it too.
Any questions here that I forgot to ask? No?
Where can folks catch this out? You said it's screening and the panel discussion. Where can folks check it out?
Yep. So right now we're just doing live screenings. Eventually it will be online. 2B TV. Probably be our main one, 2B TV.
Yeah, of course.
So, but right now we're just doing live screenings. So, again, we're going to be at NAACP. We'll be at Foxborough. Then our next screening is in Brockton at the library at the NAACP. Then after that, we'll probably do one at Brockton High School and then do a couple film festivals during the summer. So right now it's just live screenings. And then eventually we'll have distribution. It'll be available for purchase online.
And if folks want to find out more information or follow you and everything, all your projects, how can they do that?
NubieProductions.com. Click under news and you got all the updates. So Nubie Productions, my first name, NOUBE, productions.com. And you can get all the information there. And then, you know, we're going to tour this and we're going to show this plenty of times. This won't be the first or last time we're going to show this. We're going to do multiple screenings. So you'll definitely hear about it.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank everybody who is in the room and who took part in this table discussion. Maybe we should do it again in a couple of weeks.
I like it.
All right.
Go Box.
That's all the time that we have. Until next week.
Tampa Bay.
At 6:15
p.m. And Celtics. Yes, sir, Jay.
Have a great evening.